Narayana namaskritya Narachaiva narottama Devam sarasvatim vyasam Tato jaya mudiraye Nasta prayeswa bhadresu Nitam bhagavata sivaya Bhagavata mutamas loke Bhakti bhavati nashtike Vede ramane chaiva purane bharate chata Ade adanche mhade chahari savata geyote Mokam kautiva chalam pangu langrite grihi Yakipataham bande sri guru dinatarini Paramananda madhava Dhamma prajito katavota paramoni masram satan Vedam vastabham atavasmu shivadam tapatayo mulana Shima bhagavate maha mune kite kimva paraishvara sadhurdi Havarudate trakripita kishanan Atoyam brahma sutranam bharatata vininaya Gayati basha rupo shubhadata paribrimita Sava vidyati saraham sri bhakta mishyate Tarasamitatasya tiptasyana yadya syarati kachi Anamo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam canto 10 chapter 1 text 35 The advent of Lord Krishna It's about Kamsa. After driving his sister Devaki, and then heard some word from the sky that her sister's son will kill him. So now Kamsa is about to take action. So. Ityuktaha. Is that? Oh. This is. Okay, this is 35. Okay. Sa. Kalha. Papa. Bhojanam. Kulapansana. Bhaginim. Hantum. Aradham Khadga Panhi Kachi Agrahit Utuktaha Sakalha Papo Bhojanam Kulapansanaha Bhaginim Hantu Aradham Khadga pani kache grahit Ichuktaha Thus being addressed Saha He Kamsa Kalaha Envious Papaha Sinful Bhojanam Of the Bhoja dynasty Kulapansanaha, one who can degrade the reputation of his family. Bhagnim unto his sister, Hantu Arabdan, being inclined to kill. Kadgapani, taking his sword. In his hand, Kachi, hair Agrahit, took up. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Kamsa was a condemned personality in the Bhoja dynasty because he was envious and sinful. Therefore, upon hearing this omen from the sky, he caught hold of his sister's hair with his left hand and took up his sword with his right hand to sever her head from her body. Purport. Kamsa was driving the chariot and controlling the reins with his left hand. But as soon as he heard the omen that his sister's eighth child would kill him, he gave up the reins, caught hold of his sister's hair, and with his right hand took up his sword to kill her. Before, he had been so affectionate that he was acting as his sister's chariot driver. But as soon as he heard that his self-interest or his life was at risk, he forgot all affection for her and immediately became a great enemy. This is the nature of demons. No one should trust a demon despite any amount of affection. Aside from this, a king, a politician, a woman cannot be trusted since they can do anything abominable for their personal interest. Chanakya Pandit therefore says, Bisvaso naiva katavya sri suraja kule sucha. Gurave gurachandaya radhikaya tadalaya krishnaya krishna bhaktaya tabbhaktaya namo nama agyana tremendasya gana gana salakaya chakshumita jinatasma shi gurave nama namamo vishnu padaya krishna pisaya bhutale sumati bhakti vindu swamitamine namaste sarasati debe gauravani pracharane nivisasasya bhadi paschati restarika vancha kapatrubhya stha kripa srimbivacha paditana pavanabhya vashnavabhya namo nama. So I thank all the senior devotees who are here this morning, and all the devotees who are hearing, and those who are Vrindavan Life, TV Life. So we continue the discussion of in the Bhagavatam about the narration about the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. This chapter 1 is especially talking about the advent of the Lord, when the Lord made his advent 5,000 years ago. So, and of course, Kamsa, he was very affectionate to, you know, his sister, has been mentioned in this purport, to the extent that, you know, after the wedding ceremony, he was driving her chariot to their house because of his affection to his sister. And of course, Kamsa is a great king. He was the king of at that time. He was the leader, because even though he was a prince, he had not assumed the throne. But after he imprisoned his father, so he became the king. Was a very powerful personality. And actually it was mentioned that Kamsa, he actually had the strength of 10,000 elephants. He was a very powerful person. But he was very affectionate to his sister. So he drove her, he was on a chariot with reins, he was driving the chariot, he became the charioteer. But somehow he had this woman in the sky that, oh, Kamsa, you're such a grateful you are. The person that you are driving a chariot, that's your sister, her eighth child will kill you. So how can you be so foolish that you know, you are driving the chariot. Ityukta sakalapa po bojana kulapansanaha bhagini hantu arabdha kadgapani kachegrahit. So Kansa, he heard the voice in the sky. Just like nowadays, you know, everything is in the cloud. All the messages is in the cloud. We have iCloud, this cloud, that cloud, you know. So of course we depend on what may come from the cloud these days. And if the cloud should crash, then it becomes a source of anxiety. So Kamsa, he heard from the cloud that this, your sister, her a child, will kill you. And of course, Kamsa, there are some specific words which describing Kalha means somebody who is very, very wicked. It's a very wicked fellow. It's a wicked fellow. Papo means a very sinful person. Very, very sinful. And also Bojana Kulapans and her is someone who is the disgrace of the dynasty. He's called it the disgrace of the dynasty. The Acharya said that someone who can drag the dynasty into the dust. So, and in mentioning the Harivamsa, that it's not that Maharaj Ugrasena was the actual father of Kamsa. Because there was one time when Athena Padmavati was the name of the mother of Kamsa. She was once in a garden near the mountain, near the palace. She was once in a garden. And in that garden, the demon Drumila, he took the form of Ugrasen. He assumed the form of Ugrasen, and then he had sexual intercourse with Padmavati, who was the mother of Kamsa. So, and he was the wife of Ugrasena. So he had a sexual intercourse with her because she didn't know. And then, but it was after the sexual intercourse that the demon revealed himself. You know. So, and then the conception took place. And of course in those days, there's no such a thing as abortion. Because nowadays, we still just abort the child. But such a thing didn't happen. So it was a great, you know, calamity, of course, that she was giving this child. I just mentioned that, according to the, from Harivamsa, that she never really liked Kamsa. She never really liked him because the way it happened, but, you know, it has happened. It's the faith had happened this way. Also, Nadamani also told Kamsa about his origin, that he was actually the son of Drumila, who was the king of the demons, you know, at that particular time. So this, so in this way, the Kamsa was appropriately named the disgrace of the family. So Kamsa was very, very affectionate to his sister and was driving her wedding chariot. So he heard his voice. Okay, the eighth child of your sister who you are driving, he's going to kill you. So it's, you know, it's a very perplexing situation. Just like if any of us here, you know, were told that, you know, somebody, your relatives, that you have been kind to, that person is going to be the cause of your death. It's like, what are you going to do? You know, what is like, you know, so because in this world, what is most important is self-interest. No matter what kind of affection anyone we have, whatever, it's most important is a self-interest. And whenever that self-interest is disturbed, So some action is bound to be happen. So, you know, Kamsa was told that your sister, his HR will kill you. And of course, being a demoniac person, he did not want to take any consideration. Immediately grabbed her and he was ready to kill her. So it's like, because as I said, the personal interest, you know, is much more important. Like, of course, he did not want to wait until the child was born or until the atheist was born. He decided to just eliminate the cause of his impending death. He said, why not eliminate it now? It's just like when you plant a seed for the tree to grow, and then the tree grow, and then the tree bears fruit. But at the same time, if the seed is not planted, if the seed is removed, so the tree is not going to grow, and there will be no fruit. So similarly also, why not remove the seed now? Why not just remove the cause of impending disaster? Just like there was a time when Indra, because Diti, she wanted to have Indra killed, Diti, because Kashyapa Muni had two wives, who was the father of the demigods, Diti and Aditi. So Aditi is the mother of the demigods, and Diti is the mother of the demons. So one time after Lord Vishnu had killed the sons of Diti, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, and many other demons. So Diti, she decided to take a revenge. She wanted to produce someone who would be much more powerful than Indra, so that person can kill Indra. So Indra knew that Diti, she had been performing this austerity to have him killed. So Indra had been looking for the opportunity in a way to neutralize this threat. He was looking for the opportunity. Somehow, one time, Aditi, she was asleep. She was asleep, and some drooling came out of her mouth. She was asleep. So Indra took advantage of that situation, because Indra, he had a lot of mystic potency. So he entered the womb of Aditi and killed the embryo. He didn't kill the embryo, he just cut up the embryo into seven pieces. And these seven pieces, they were actually alive. And he again cut them into each of them into additional seven pieces, so they become 49. So, and then all of a sudden, all of them, they are saying, hey, Indra, please, don't kill us. They were decrying, don't kill us. So Indra said, do not, Marut. That's how the Marut were born. Indra said, Maruti, do not cry. So in this way, Indra did not kill them, because they became favorable to Indra. He did not kill them. But Kamsa, he did not want to follow this step of Indra. He didn't want to follow that. He said, let me just kill her now. Let me just neutralize, this threat. So he grabbed her hair, the Devaki, and was ready to sever the head from her body. So this is the nature of so-called material love, because we have so-called material love and affection, which we often talk about in this world. But material love and affection, because it's based on personal interest, it's based on self gratification, it has no duration. It does not last. It's only temporary. You know, we talk so much of love in this material world. But in the material world, there's really no love. Because the moment the self gratification is disturbed, then the so-called love turns to hatred. You know, that's the reality. And especially, you know, if you are dealing with a wicked person. The wicked persons, they may show their so-called love, their so-called affection for some time, but because of their wicked nature, you know, they can immediately turn deadly. Immediately, just like Srila Prabhupada was mentioning in the purport. He said especially the so-called love of the demoniac persons. It's always, you know. So Prabhupada said, this is the nature of demons. So therefore, because the so-called manifestation of so-called affection and love is based on that. So it's just like in the modern politics, for instance. In the modern politics, like for instance, Prabhupada said that no one should trust the politicians. Don't trust a politician, especially. Like in politics, they often say that there is no permanent friend or there is no permanent enemy. You know, it all depends on the how the pendulum swings. Sometimes you have alliance today, you know, but your so-called alliance, they can always turn against you, you know, because that's the nature of the modern politics. It's all based on, you know, what is good for oneself. You know, so therefore, there's no such thing as a permanent friendship or permanent enemy in the modern politics. So, because Kamsa, he had the same hand that he was used to driving his sister, driving her chariot with the end, with the rein, and not with the whip. So, he threw away the reins and also the whip. So, with his left hand. He grabbed her head, and then with the right hand, he was ready, you know, ready to kill. So you can see the same hand that he was using to drive the chariot of a loving sister, affectionate sister, because his self-interest was disturbed. The same, he was also ready to kill. So which basically means that the same mouth that may praise you today is the same mouth that will damn you tomorrow. And this happens everywhere, even in the spiritual society. You know, we know in our, especially, let me just give an example, in our organization, for instance, in our movement, for instance, there are many, many devotees in the past who have done so many wonderful work, many, many preaching activities, and everyone, you know, we'll be praising them that, he's such a great person, you know, he has done so much, he's such a great devotee, this and that. And then, the moment something happened to that person, let's say that person, there is the spiritual fall, something like that, that person become the object of derision. Everybody will start, you know, damning that person. That, this is all within our experience. So basically, the same mouth that can praise you today, you know, wow you today, is the same mouth that will, you know, damn you tomorrow. Because that is the nature of the material world. It's only in the spiritual circle, in the spiritual world, that such a thing do not happen. Actually, Lord Krishna was telling Uddhava, because in this world, everyone has different samskara. Everyone has particular different samskaras. So therefore, the Lord was telling Uddhava, how should a spiritualist, a spiritual practitioner, how should you carry himself forward? So the Lord said, Parasvabhava kamani, na prasamsena gayatit vishwam ekatmakam pasyam prakritya purusena cha. So the Lord is saying that one should see that because of the meeting of material nature and the living entity, the universe is acting uniformly Thus, one should neither praise nor criticize the characteristics or activities of others. So this is what the Lord says. So which means that we should not praise anyone, nor should we criticize anyone. Don't praise or don't criticize. So in this way, you will always maintain equilibrium. Because the same person that you are praising today, the same person you will end up criticizing tomorrow. You know? Because, you know, that is the nature of material world. So therefore the Lord said, don't criticize, don't praise, and don't criticize anyone. It's just like in the story of Ramachandra Puri. So Ramachandra Puri, who was the godbrother of Chaitanya Prabhu's spiritual master, Ishwar Puri. So Ramachandra Puri, he had a habit of going around and just criticizing everyone. Because Ramachandra Puri was such a person, he will go to a Vaishnava's house and he will fill that Vaishnava, you know, nice prasad. And then when that person finished eating, they will be criticizing that same person. So they say, oh, see, you are eating so much. You are eating so much. You know, when Ramachandra Puri, when he went to Jagannath Puri, so he wanted to find fault with the devotees. First he went to Jagannanda, so he fed him so much prasad. And then he was criticizing and say, I've heard that you followers of Chaitanya, you eat so much, you cannot control your senses. And I cannot see this myself. And then after some time, then he went to Sri Chaitanya Prabhu. So when he went to Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, and then when he went there, I think the Lord just finished taking his meal. And that time, so he saw some ants crawling on the ground. He saw some ants. And then he said, oh, I can see this sannyasi. He eats so much, he eats a lot of sweet. And that's why so many ants are crawling all over the places. So what kind of sannyasi is this? So he was criticizing Chaitanya Prabhu, you know, this way. And of course, because Mahaprabhu, you know, he sees Ramachandra Puri as the godbrother of his spiritual master. So therefore, he simply told Govinda that he said, from today on, my food, I only want a small portion of my food. Don't bring me more. Just give me only a very small portion of my food from today on. And if you should bring more, I will leave this place. So Mahaprabhu, he gave such a stern warning to Govinda. And when all the devotees heard this, that Chaitanya Prabhu has stopped eating, as the way he will, so all the devotees, they were like, it's like a big mental agony for them. That, you know, what is this? The Lord has stopped eating. Like one quarter of the portion that the Lord would not normally eat. This will probably happen. So, and of course, all the Vaishnavas, they were going to Mahaprabhu, say that, why are you taking this serious? Don't listen to Ramachandra Puri. But Mahaprabhu, he simply said that, Ramachandra Puri, he is simply saying the Dharma of the sannyasis. So therefore, you know, I have to stop, you know, I have to follow the Dharma of the sannyasis. Even Paramananda Puri, who was the godbrother of Ramachandra Puri, he went to Mahaprabhu, he said that, look, my godbrother is a non-critic. Why you have to listen to him? He's a non-critic. He's used to do this. Even though the Lord, like for instance, was quoting this verse, even though the Lord Krishna said that, you know, one should neither praise or not criticize the activities of a person, but my grandmother, he will neglect the first one, but he will do the second one. The first one is not to praise, and the second one is not to criticize. He would rather criticize someone. So therefore, Paramananda Puri was saying that, no, start eating. Don't listen to, you know, to my god brother. But still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very strict. He said, no, I will follow this. He even told the devotees that even after Ramachandra Puri, even after he left Jagannath Puri, when he finally left away, and when he left, all the devotees were very, very relieved that he had gone away. So the Lord said that, why is all of you criticizing Ramachandra Puri? Whatever I say, he said the right thing. You know, he said exactly what should be the duty of the sannyasis. So anyway, this is just the thing that I'm just bringing this point just to illustrate, you know, some of the thing that the comes on such a person, whereby being very wicked and also a sinful person, because without any consideration, when he heard the omen that the eighth child of his sister will kill him, immediately ready to take action, immediately ready to kill the sister, without even giving the thought that, okay, maybe I should wait for some time, maybe there should be some deliberation. But no, because the sinful people, the wicked people, they do things without shame. You know, they do things without shame. They just do things, you know, just for the sake of it, without even give a consideration of what people will think. That if I do this action, what will people think of my action? So the wicked people, they don't have such consideration. They just do things without what would be the public opinion. So therefore, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Pass said, he said, the affection of wicked people is so savage that it even disregards any concept of public shame. You know. So that's why it's advised that actually one should not make friendship or enemy with those who are wicked. Do not make friendship or enmity with the wicked persons. You know? Because in either way, it can always turn in adversity. So as I mentioned, so the so-called affection of wicked person is always dangerous, because the wicked persons, the demonic persons, they only after their own self-interest. That's what they're after. Nothing else. And of course, you know, we are going to read from the next verse on how Vasudev, you know, saying that the Kamsa was ready to kill, you know, his sister. I mean, yet his wife, which was supposed to be the sister of Kamsa, was ready to kill. But Kamsa is being described as Mahabhaga, very great personality. So he had to act in such a way that this action of Kamsa does not fructify. He had to act in such a way, you know. So therefore, you know, as we're going to read in the following verses, how Kamsa, he had to take a very strong diplomatic role just to prevent the calamity of having the Devaki killed, you know, by praising Kamsa, praising him, that, oh, you're such a great person, how can you do, you know, if you do such a thing, what will people think? So in this way, you know, but still, the demoniac persons, they are very, very hard to please. Very, very difficult to please. As we go. So it's a very, very interesting section of the Bhagavatam, of hearing this, you know, this when Kamsa, when he hears this voice from the sky, that his eighth child will kill him. So I'm going to stop here. And maybe Maharaj should give some comments about this discussion, and also Prabhu. Yeah, some comments. Oh, they did not. I'm sorry.
Krishna is in charge of everything. Why would the demigods, in a voice from the sky, tell Kamsa that Devaki, who is going to be his mother, is the eighth son going to kill him, and obviously they're going to be tortured and maybe killed. Or, I mean, is Krishna wanting to increase the drama? Or, I mean, Krishna's in charge, the demigods are servants of Krishna, so why would the demigods tell Kamsa knowing, and then Narayana tells Kamsa that, you know, kill all the kids that are born at this time? It seems kind of cruel, doesn't it?
It's quite inconceivable that the demigods, you know, they play that role of inciting Kamsa, you know, hey, kill, these are your enemies, you know, it's kill. Maybe you have the better answer to that.
Well, you didn't give any answer, so what better answer can I give? What
answer? As I say, you know, it's a...
Okay. The demigods were present there in the sky, witnessing the marriage procession. So one point that you can get is that they said that Kamsa is a demonic person.
Mm-hmm.
But now he started to serve Devaki and Vasudev, rendering service.
Yeah.
So, Kamsa will not kill. Besides, they wanted to, apparently, superficially, he was serving Devaki and Vasudev. But the heart was not so good. Demigod wanted to reveal the proper mentality of Kamsa.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also they were very much, they wanted to deprive him, take out from the Vaishnava service. He will do that, then Krishna will be obliged to, he will not be certain.
Mm-hmm.
So she spiritually, they wanted that Kamsa should be killed.
Yeah.
They were thinking that even Krishna may appear, that he will think, he will consider no one, they think Kamsa has sworn by parents. Why he should kill him? He will not. They wanted to deprive Kamsa from the service. If you do service, then you will not be destroyed. For that reason, then.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
So there should be some disturbance on the part of Vaishnava. If they will be tortured,
then Krishna will come, yeah. Yeah, and Narada Muni kept coming to the council, so that, you know. Yeah. Okay.
We should not praise or criticize. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry, Sri Lord Chaitanya returned from his solitary trip and he saw Sarvabhauma Acharya. He said, I've been all over to many holy places, I've not seen a more saintly Vaishnava than you. Of course, I did enjoy my talk with Ramananda Roy. So it seems as though he's praising him. Lord Chaitanya is praising Sarvabhauma. I've not seen a better Vaishnava than you. I've been all over South India. So what do you mean by not praising and not praising?
Well, on the part of the sadhakas, you know, just like I gave the example of sometimes we praise many devotees, and when those devotees, when they have some spiritual difficulty, then we start damning them, you know. So for sadhakas, yeah, because the same mouth that is praising someone, the same mouth is damning them. So therefore, the Lord said, "Do not praise or criticize." So, and of course, Sarvabhauma is a perfected devotee. He's a topmost. He's not an honorary Vaishnava. So he's not a sadhaka. He's a perfect person, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So therefore, Mahaprabhu interacting with him in this way, you know. And at the same time, also we know that when Krishna Das, who was traveling with him, and Krishna Das went off with the gypsies. So when Mahaprabhu brought him back to Puri, he may say, "Okay, this fellow, he has done this. Get him out of here. I don't want him around me anymore." So the Lord have, you know, such roles. So which means the Lord have certain roles with his pure Vaishnavas, who actually is eternal associates, versus those who are just like sadhakas. So Lord Krishna himself is advising Uddhava, because that every living entity has got different samskaras. So the Lord telling Uddhava that, do not criticize or praise anyone. Yeah, of course, you know, we give glory to all the Vaishnava all the time. You know, that is there. But the point is that how do we avoid criticizing those we have praised? How do we avoid that? So that's the question. You know, it's a very tough thing. You know, it's a tough logic, of course. You know, Kamsa was, you know, he was driving his sister, and then he was ready to kill her immediately. So that, you know, that concentration is there. You know, is that a good proof, Maharaj? Is that a good example? You want to add something, Prabhu? So it's a good Prabhu, want to add something? So it's a very distant, it's a lot of things we're going to be learning towards the end of this chapter, and then the next chapter, of course, you know, when the demigods start praying to Lord Krishna, you know. Jai. Grant us, remember, Tam ki, Sila Prabhupada ki.